Well, hello again. We're going to start this one like we've been starting them all during this pandemic. This is the day that the Lord has made. I will rejoice and be glad in it. Of course, really what that verse is talking about, prophetically, talking about the day of salvation, the day that we get to live in as born-again children of the living God. This is the day. Thank God he made this day for us. I'm so glad to be a child of God, so glad to be saved. Hallelujah. I want to welcome you again. Looking forward to this lesson, especially today. We know that these services, you know, they on the internet, they go around the world. So you've got everybody, you know, people like me that's been hearing the message from Dave Roberson and the prayer center for over 25 years. And then maybe on the other hand, you're somebody that first heard about this a week ago, 2 weeks ago. Maybe you just got saved last Thursday. Who knows? So this lesson today is really, it's for everybody, of course. But if you're new to these things, it might be a little difficult for you to understand. So let me just give a little bit of history. More than 25 years ago, the Lord called Pastor Dave Roberson to start his own ministry. He was at that time, well, he'd already had his own ministry before, but at that moment, he was working in another man's ministry, and the Lord gave him a vision that he said, "Now, the vision I'm giving you is just not going to fit within this other man's ministry. I need you to get a group of people together and take them far enough into me, into God, to bring a supernatural revival. First to a religious city, meaning Tulsa, but eventually to spread around the world." And so Pastor Dave began, and of course he gathered up a lot of us, and we got hooked by the message because the vision is worth giving your life for. I mean, we thank God for the fundamental salvation message that if you believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, thou shalt be saved. Whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. And we thank God for anybody, anywhere who is preaching Jesus and preaching the cross and preaching repentance and preaching salvation. Thank God for you. Thank God for you. But see, Jesus said a lot of other things beyond there. In John 14, he says, "Those that believe on me, the works that I do, shall they do also, and greater works than these, because I go unto the Father." Well, now that's quite a statement, see, and the works that he did. I have a message that I do sometimes where I stay in the book of Matthew, and I look at five different meetings that Jesus held when he was here to do them himself, you know, in person. And I'm not saying he always healed everybody as he was walking down the street, but in those five services where everybody could come, it plainly says he healed them all. And in some of them, there were great multitudes. And it gets very specific. They weren't just being healed of things like a cold or a virus or a flu or something like that. It says the blind saw, the lame walked, the deaf were made where they could hear. How about this one? The maimed were made whole. Now, maimed, that means when you're missing a body part, you know, maybe born that way or through some accident, you're missing a leg, mixing it. And can you imagine going to church, sitting in a service, and watching somebody's leg grow out? I mean, I don't mean 4 inches. I mean a whole leg, maimed, grow out. I believe we're going to see that again, and I believe we're going to see it on national television, maybe international television. But that is the mission of the prayer center, to go far enough into God to... What is it that's keeping your people away from that kind of power? We know it's not God, because God's the one that sent Jesus, who told us what the will of the Father was. Well, the will of the Father is those that believe on me, the works that I do, shall they do also. So Dave taught us foundational, fundamental principles. What is praying in the Spirit? And what does it accomplish? And how does that affect your walk with the Lord? And he taught us about meditating the Word of God in the accurate way, how to meditate it in whole images. He taught us about worship. He taught us about fasting. so many things on this path. Well, now, boy, I'm really summarizing. There's so much. Then last year, beginning in October of last year, the Lord gave 10 specific, what we call present hour speaking. You could call it prophecy, but 10 specific words that he gave through Pastor Bronk Flint in Florida. He pastors the church there, a good friend of ours, great friend of the ministry. And these are just such straightforward instructions. I mean, we don't have an excuse of we don't know what to do. And in a nutshell, it's focus, zero in, become laser focused on this message. What message? The very things that were taught to us foundationally by Pastor Dave: prayer, fasting, worship, the word. Press in like never before, because there's the Lord desires a great harvest before he returns. Well, we've been teaching on those. I've taught on it. Pastor Bronk has taught on it. Jim has taught on it. Alan has taught on it. And dissected it some. See, and the thing I love, well, there's so many things, but one of the things I so appreciate about the Lord, do you know nothing ever takes him by surprise? Don't you know he knew that this pandemic was coming and that we were going to have this time at home where we could have the time available to do what he's asked us to do in those instructions in times of seeking him? You know, most people are sharing the 10 best movies to watch on Netflix, here's 10 new things, hobbies you can start. And well, I understand that. But see, we already got our marching orders. We got them before before we'd ever hardly heard the word coronavirus. The Lord knew this was coming. He knew we'd have this time together. So today, my instruction from the Lord is not so much to go back down and break down the instructions. I think at this point, you know what to do. You really know what to do. I know what to do. But I felt like he was saying, go through there again and glean out some of the promises I made, that the Lord made in those prophecies. You know, Hebrews chapter 11, verse 6 says, without faith, it is impossible to please God. He that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of those who diligently seek him. And what's amazing, that was written to the first century Hebrews, the Jewish people that got saved. Somebody came and preached Christ unto them. And so they turned away from the law of Moses. They don't trust in that anymore to save them. They have turned now to the Lord Jesus Christ. Well, great persecution was coming on them. Because they were now Christian, in some households, the parents would disown the child and say, listen, if you don't reject Jesus and go back to the law of Moses, the inheritance that we were going to give you, we're going to have a mock grave. We're going to bury a casket and say you were in it. You will no more be a child of ours, and the inheritance we were going to give you, we're going to divide it amongst your brethren. If it was known publicly you were a Christian, you were excommunicated from the tabernacle, you couldn't go to the universities and get, you know, you were blackballed. What we would say today is blackballed, and you were shunned and made fun of and ridiculed. And it even, at times, it would confiscate your goods. It said you took the spoiling of your goods. And during that time, knowing that that's what's going on, I mean, if they're going to go by what they see, sure doesn't look like they're being rewarded for their faith in Christ. I mean, I at the altar call, I responded and I got saved and Jesus is my Savior and all hell broke loose. Well, that's exactly what's going on. And it's in that context, knowing that that's what's going on, that the writer of Hebrews says, without faith, it's impossible to please God. Listen, when you come to God, you got to know two things: that he is, and that he is a rewarder of those that diligently seek him. Now, I don't know what kind of earthly reward or lack of reward that first century Christians got. I do know that the devil was using bad circumstances, trying to move them away from trusting in Jesus as their Savior. That part is real obvious. Let me ask you, how important was it for that first century group of Jewish people who got saved? How important was it that they hold fast to the confession of their faith in Jesus Christ? Had they crumbled under pressure and gone, all of them gone back to the law of Moses? Christianity might have been snuffed out in its early stages. You know, but the vast majority of the first converts were Jewish. 3,000 the first message that Peter taught, 5,000 the next message that Peter taught. Because they held fast, no matter the persecution, Christianity spread through the known world like wildfire. Eventually it brought down Rome. I mean, just on and on. And you talk about a reward. I don't know if they ever got an earthly reward, but I know for all of eternity, those first century Christians are going to have joy unspeakable and full of glory that they held fast to their confession and really believe that God is a rewarder of those that diligently seek Him. Well, I even think about last week's lesson where we talked about Noah. You know, he hears from God, he obeys God, and for roughly 100 to 120 years, it took him to build that ark. And it says during that time, he was a preacher of righteousness. He was preaching, judgment is coming. You need to repent. Judgment is coming. But we also know not a single person believed him. And how we know that is nobody got on the boat with him but him and his family. Not an uncle, not a cousin, not a close relative, not a friend. How discouraging is that? You preach for 100 to 120 years and don't make a single convert? Yet Noah believed that God is, and that God is a rewarder of those that diligently seek Him. And through Noah, because of Noah's obedience and his faith, through Noah, the human species was saved. Everybody on earth is descended, really now, from Noah and his family. Wow. I think Noah has a good reward. We talked about Moses. Thank God Moses obeyed God. And then the whole chapter 11 of Hebrews is talking about these people that changed the generation they lived in. Because they heard God, and no matter the persecution that came against them, they obeyed God. Well, this is the generation that we live in. We have heard God. He has given us those 10 prophecies. We put them all together, and I'll ask Angie again today to put a link to both a PDF and also the MP3 that joined them all together, where you can easily download it along with this message if you'd like to. But we've received our instructions. This is our instructions, no different than Noah receiving the blueprint how to build the ark. This is our instruction, no less from God than Moses receiving his instruction how to build the tabernacle and build it according to the pattern. We have received our instruction. We're calling it the blueprint for 2020. And God gave it to us just in time, perfect timing, where we had time to receive it, print it, digest it, teach about it, understand it, and then comes this pandemic where we're all kind of isolated at home, and we've got more than enough time to do it. Now, will we do it? That is the question. Will we do it? Well, today, I felt like my instructions were to go through that blueprint, and what I've done at his instruction is pull out many of the promises that God Himself makes in this blueprint. And it's not exhaustive. I mean, I did this in maybe 2 hours, you know, but there's probably even more than what I have here. But I just want to go through some of the promises God Himself makes. Now, listen, everything that I'm going to read hinges on, are you going to do it? And he doesn't just mean as an individual. He's calling on not just the prayer center in Tulsa, but if you are, let's say it this way, I don't care what part of the world you're in. If you have linked arms with us, if you are on board, if you have hooked up with this message of revival, to pray and fast and worship and meditate the word and do what's been taught, to go far enough into God to bring this revival back into the earth, It's not just one of us. He's calling all of us. This is a corporate thing. This revival is a corporate thing. Well, let me share with you some of the promises, and I've done it by, I've separated them by the different prophecies. So here's prophecy number one, and the title is, the title of that prophecy is Bring Forth Intercession in These Last Days. Now, there's four specific promises that God makes in that one. Now, I'm not talking about the instructions today. We've already taught and taught and taught about the instructions. Just, you can go back and listen. Today, what are the promises? If I do this, Brother Gary, if I do this, God, what's going to happen? Okay. Number one, he says, one thing that's going to come from this is a great harvest, but it's a two-part harvest. He calls it, first, I want a harvest in the church. Isn't that something? God wants a harvest in the church. Well, that reminds me of Charles Finney in the 1800s, a great evangelist and preacher. His calling from God was to evangelize the church. It says there's so many people in the church that aren't even saved. They go to assembly, they raise their hands, they worship, they give their money, and they're not even saved. They're not even born again. They think they're okay with God, but they're not okay with God. Well, trust me, the churches are like that still today. And I don't know what percentage, only God knows, but God wants those people saved. He wants a harvest first in the church. The second promise that he says is a harvest in the world. Well, that's for sure. Dear Lord, there are, 7 to 8 billion people on planet Earth today? And you know, only a very small percentage, a small fraction of that is saved. He wants to harvest out of the world. And he doesn't mean just the barfly, the sinner, the drug user. No, he's talking about religious people that are caught up in false religions. And anyway, we could go on and on. Here's the third promise. It's because it takes time to do what he's asked us to do. It takes time. To separate yourself, pray, fast, meditate the word. That takes time. And do you remember one of the things that Pharaoh did back in Exodus? When Moses had been sent to, said, let my people go, you know, let my people go. And one of the first things that Pharaoh did went, okay, these people are not busy enough. I'm going to make them more busy. So he changed, doubled the requirement of bricks that they had to make, but he gave them the same amount of time. The point being, it would make them, here's the thought of the devil, I'll get them so busy they'll forget all about seeking after God. Boy, if that's not our generation, you can't even have quiet time anymore. I love my phone, I'm using my phone right now to make this video, but I gotta be careful, that thing will ding and pop and buzz and... You know, and it's all, and from my phone, it's all good stuff. You know, it's people with good comments, good questions. They want to send me a picture. They want to tell me this testimony. It's all good, and I love it all, and I don't want you to quit. But I'm telling you, there's times I have to shut that thing off. It's like today, I made up my mind. If the church was open like normal, this is, on a Saturday, our prayer time was like from 7 till noon. Well, so Saturday of this week, I made up my mind. I am going to do that just as if the church was open. Boy, I had to fight for it. I mean, okay, seems like every kind of, and just silencing the phone doesn't help because you can still hear that buzz, buzz. You know, I had to turn the thing off for a while just in order to, just me and God, just pray, get quiet. So anyway, he says, here's a promise. He says, if we will give our time, like he's asked us to seek and after him in prayer and the word and fasting, he says, I'm going to read it the way he said it, he will multiply our time and help us get done what must be done. He promises we will not be ashamed. Oh my goodness. It's good when God comes to help you. I got a feeling all of my stuff could get done quicker with his help than without it. Don't you? So anyway, there's four real good promises just out of that first one. All right, the second one is called Bring Me Gold. And I wrote down six things out of here. Oh, this is the very first one. Gary, what'll happen? If we all pray, if we do these instructions that God has asked us to do, if we really do this, Gary, what would happen? Well, let's see what he says. Get a hold of something. I can't hardly read this without running off. He says, if we'll do it, I will bring forth in you an exact replica of my firstborn one who walked in front of you. Oh, my Lord. He's talking about Christ in us coming to fullness in us, where we become a replica. You know, Paul said that about himself in Philippians. He said, for to me, to live is Christ. You know, people say that all the time, to live is Christ. No, not everybody's that way. You can't say that about the drug dealer. Okay? No. Paul says, for to me, he had come to the place. What he's saying there is, look, if you watch me today and you see everything I do, you wouldn't see anything different if Jesus himself inhabited this body and you watched him. Because I've come to that place. I'm not really living anymore. Well, it's me, but it's Christ in me. Oh, my. God says, I will bring forth an exact replica, he's talking about in you, of my firstborn, the one who walked in front of you. Then he reminds us about that firstborn, that that Jesus, he knew the Father in the private place. Remember, he'd spend all night in prayer? Jesus continued to purge himself continuously. And we know that because it says he was tempted in all points like we are, yet without sin. Well, the flesh doesn't die. What I mean is that we have to count it dead, but that flesh can be tempted right up to the grave. Even in the garden right before the cross, he was tempted. He says, Lord, not my will, but thine be done. What does that tell you? He had a different will. The flesh don't want to die. Come on. But he continued to purge himself. And he walked in a place of commitment to the Father. Boy, there it is. Say yes to the Father every single time. I better speed this up a little bit. Okay. Here's another promise. He says, if the Father says in that prophecy, if we will do this, it will bring forth an anointing that causes a citywide and a statewide revival. You know, the revivals I grew up with, it was a man's scheduled thing. Revival begins Wednesday night at 7, ends Friday night at 10. You know, and they're talking about having a guest speaker come in. And thank God again. Thank God for anybody that's preaching Christ and him crucified. That's not the kind of revival we're contending for. We want the kind like we see when Jesus would have his meetings on his own. The blind see, the lame walk, the deaf hear, the maimed are made whole, and at times the dead are raised. Glory to God. Now we're talking a revival. Okay. He says, here's a promise. If we will yield to this purging process that he's talking about, these instructions, he says, when you pray, you will move mountains. Man, what price you willing to pay for that? When you pray, you will move mountains. You know, I got it going. I can't labor on each one of these. I tell you right now, I want that. And that's exactly what Jesus said. Whosoever shall say unto this mountain, be thou removed and be thou cast into the sea, and shall not doubt in his heart, but shall believe that those things which he saith shall come to pass, he shall have whatsoever he saith. Jesus plainly said, we can speak to the mountain. I don't care how big it is, and it will move. Cancer will move. Coronavirus will move. Pandemic will move if we obey these instructions and let him have his way with us. All right? Here's the next one. He says, for those that will obey these instructions, you'll come to a place of peace and quietness like you have never known. He says in here, there is a stillness that will direct your day. There is a stillness that will direct your life. And there is a stillness that can't even hear an offense. You know, when somebody says something ugly to you, they can't even really hear it. You're so peaceful on the inside. I remember when Pastor Dave used to talk about that peace that he attained to. He says it's like the most beautiful, clear lake without a ripple. He says the thing of it is you're so accustomed to that level of peace. If somebody way over there just throws a pebble into the lake, little ripples start, you'll notice it right away. See, it's got a lot to do with leadership, which we're not teaching on today, but be led by peace. There's a lot there. If you're so accustomed to that stillness and that peace, any ripples, anything's in it, it's good leadership. Draw your attention to it right away. Okay, here's another promise. This is all in that same prophecy now. Bring me gold. He desires, now get this, this is, God says, he desires that we all, now that's not just being from the South, we all, all of us, he wants us all to walk in the gifts of the Spirit. Oh my Lord, the gifts of the Spirit are all supernatural. You can't do any of them on your own. And I thank God for all the miracles that we got to watch God do through Pastor Dave, and thank God for that. We needed that. And the ones before him, you know, the Smith Wigglesworths, the Catherine Kuhlmans, the Amy Simple McPhersons, the Oral Roberts, on and on and on we could go. And that is great, and we needed that, and we'll still have leaders. But we're coming into the time of Joel's army. He is pouring out his Spirit on all flesh, and he plainly says he wants all of the gifts working through us, just normal, everyday believers. He wants all the gifts of the Spirit available, working through us. And then he concludes, here's a promise. He says, his desire, which means we can attain it if we follow these instructions, that there will be no weak and no sickly among you. Do you know that's what happened when he brought them out of Egypt? It plainly says there was not one feeble one among them. And there was some estimates, 1 to 1.5 million people coming out of Egypt, and they'd been slaves for over 400 years. Can you imagine? You know, and I'm sure they didn't have the best doctors or any doctors. Not one feeble one. And he's saying, I want that same thing now in this last day army. Okay, I got to go in a little faster. Here's the third prophecy. It's called, you who have ears to hear. Number one. Here's a promise. If we will do what he's asking us to do, he says, you will be free from complacency and indifference. Dave used to teach volumes on this. He said those are two of the biggest mountains, the biggest dark parts of us. It's some of the last things to die. You know, Jesus says some 30, some 60, some 100-fold. And Dave would say that last 40, that last, you know, some 30, some 60, that last 40%, he said, that's a bear. That's where indifference lives. That's where complacency lives. You know, you go far enough in God, you know you're saved, and your family got saved, and you're healed, and you're walking in some prosperity. The bills are paid. And pretty soon, if you're not careful, it's so easy to just coast. When people all around you, all around the world, are just dying and going to hell. He says, here's a promise. If we'll do this message, we will be free from that. Complacency and indifference will just die. Wow. Boy, what's that worth? Here's the second promise in that one. God says, if we'll do it, he says, I will lay my hand on you. Your exaltation will be to do the works that my first begotten did. It doesn't get much plainer than that. God is saying, if you will do this, I'm going to lay my hand on you, and you are going to do the same works that he did. Then he says, it will become natural. It will become a flow to you and through you. I can remember the Lord saying to me over the years that we don't really know who we are, because if we really did and realized that we really are sons of the living God, with Christ in us and the anointing of the Holy Ghost upon us, the most natural thing in the world is for the Father's will to be done through us. See, that should be natural. It should be a flow. It should be the most normal thing. Say, well, there's something that's not the will of my Father. I'll go speak in the name of Jesus and the Holy Spirit will correct it. That's where we're going. That's the promise. He did also mention in there, and all of you Facebook users, I'm not against Facebook. Facebook's a wonderful tool if it's used correctly. But most of the time, it's just used for debate and argument, and hardly any real progress is made. Here's a promise. I like this one. Of course, I like all of them. God says, there will be no time for debates and endless chatter. You will not have the time. You'll just walk right past that to heal another and to raise another. Wow. There are some promises. The next prophecy, number 4, is titled Endure in the Fight. Now, it's mostly instructions, but I got 2 promises out of there. God says, if we'll do that, again, all of these are predicated on if we do it. He says, if you do it, I will infuse my strength into your heart. And so we know that scripture is in there. Be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Well, that's talking about in you. We know that's in there. But how many walk in it? You think you're walking in it till the storm hits. But he says, if we do this and yield ourselves the way he's telling us to, he says, I will infuse my strength into your heart, boy. The second one, he says, the more that you do the instructions that he gave in those 10 prophecies, the more you do it, the more you will stand. Man, I'd like to have the testimony, no more slips, no more falling, no more failures. I want to stand every single time. Amen. Enough on that. All right, the next one, prophecy number 5, intimacy is the hour you live in. That's the title. Now he says, doing this message, he says, it brings death to the flesh, but life to the spirit. That's Romans 8. I don't have to teach on that right now. But it brings death to the flesh, life to the spirit. Now, you're already born with that life on the inside of you. But what he's saying is, it edifies you. And again, this is all like Dave Roberson 101. The more you pray, it edifies you. It builds you up on your most holy faith. It strengthens you. It edifies you. Then the Lord says, the trade-off is beyond measure. In other words, how we've been functioning, probably 90% flesh. You know, I don't know. I shouldn't say that. Mostly flesh. More flesh than spirit. However we've been walking, he says, if you'll do this, you're not going to keep walking that way. And the trade-off is beyond measure. I believe it. Here's a promise that's in this same prophecy. He said, incredible gladness is in front of you in the days ahead. You remember when Dave would say, don't let the beatings run you off. You're going to be a happy camper when it's your hands on that little blind child. And then when you pray, those little eyes, the pupils swirl, and first thing they see is you. You're going to be a happy camper. Well, here the Lord is saying, incredible gladness is in front of you in the days ahead. Then he says, you'll be glad for every moment that you fought back the temptation to quit. You'll be glad every moment that you have walked past an offense that could have diverted you from the right hand to the left. You will watch the children, the little ones, come in. You'll watch as they get healed. You'll watch people from all walks of life come in and be healed. The children, he says it again about the children. The children coming in from the groves, coming in from the pastures, coming out of places of obscurity, you will watch them be healed. And he's talking about as you lay your hands on them, as you pray for them, you'll watch it and great joy. You talk about the trade-off of an operation of the flesh to an operation of the spirit. The trade-off is beyond measure. I count that beyond measure. I count that beyond measure. Oh, my God. All right. The next prophecy is titled Complete the Purging Process. This is number 6. Now, the instruction, I had to put a little bit of the instruction in this one because this prophecy is mostly about forgiveness. And it gives great detail, making sure that you're walking in forgiveness. Sometimes, oh yeah, I forgave them, but if you see them walking down the street, your tendency is to cross to the other side of the street so you don't meet them, you know. Might be a little something still there. Just saying. So I just wrote down, basically in this, the instruction is forgive as you have been forgiven. You know, forgive. Jesus died for you before you were even born. He didn't wait for no apology. Forgive as you have been forgiven. And he says, here's him talking. He says, you'll see if you'll really walk in forgiveness. And I'm not going to go through the instructions. You'll have to read the prophecy and make sure you're doing it. But he says, if you'll do that, then you'll see and you'll wonder why it is so easy. Why it is so easy when it was so hard to pull up the miracles and to see that divine glory that will fall in your midst. He said, it'll become easy. Then he says, revival will rage. If that was the only promise, excuse me, I got to go pray. Revival will rage. And then he says, kingdoms and nations will turn. What? Nations will turn because little old me, well, and a bunch of little old me's, we got together and we followed the instruction of the Lord. Well, Noah and his family followed the instruction of the Lord, changed the world. Moses followed the instruction of the world, followed the instruction of the Lord, changed the world. Then that whole chapter 11 is full of people that heard and obeyed, and they changed the generation that they lived in. It's our turn. It's our turn. Hallelujah. All right. Prophecy number 7, know your significance. And the main thing, the main promise, he says, you will come to know. Now, see, we all know it intellectually. You are my seed. He says, you will come to know. And I know he's talking about really know through all the depth of your being that you are my son and my daughter. You are my priest. That is to bring forth the high praises and intercession in the earth. Now, get this. That will bring forth the great and last day harvest of my kingdom. We need to know that. We are the sons and daughters of God. We are his priests on the earth. And when we pray, heaven listens. We are being purged and changed and transformed to that very image of Christ. And he says, he has called us to bring forth the great and last day harvest of his kingdom. Oh my goodness. These instructions to me are right up on the same level as the blueprint God gave Noah, as the blueprint God gave Moses for their generation. All right, the second one that I wrote from that prophecy, he says, I have ability, God's saying, I have ability to flow through you, now this is you, in authority, an expectation of things in the faith that will truly turn a city upside down. Wow. I want to see a city turned upside down. Then I want to see a state turned upside down. Then I want to see a nation turned upside down. Then I want to see the world turned upside down. Oh my goodness. What promises? All right. Number 8. I only wrote down one out of this. It says, it is your... I can't. When I read this, I just want to go pray. God himself says, it is your place of commitment to prayer that will bring forth my authority in the last part of this transition. What is it that's going to do it? Oh, we're waiting on God to sovereignly do it. When it's time, he'll just pour it out of heaven. Yeah, when he wants me to change, he'll change me. No, that's not at all the way it works. It is your place of commitment to prayer that will bring it. Your commitment to prayer that will bring it. And it's more than just prayer. It's all of the instruction given in that blueprint, those 10 prophecies. Well, I hope you're getting something out of this. I'm done already preaching myself happy. I can't hardly wait to get through with this and get back into prayer myself. Hallelujah. Gary, you adding any fasting? Yes, I am. Used to, I'd kind of laugh at that and go, let's talk about something else. No, I'm doing it. Doing more. Now, I'm not, you can always say more. You know, I don't care what you do. The devil's going to always tell you, you're not doing enough. But I'll tell you this, I'm doing more than I've ever done in my life. It ain't bragging if it's so. I'm just sharing my testimony. You know, why teach it if I'm not going to do it? I'm in here. I'm in here with you. Got to push away from that table sometime. The other day, somebody brought me some of my favorite, I mean my favorite on earth ice cream. It's in the house. But I was on one of those days, you know. Gary, what'd you do? I had one bite. One. That's almost harder than having no bite at all. I had one bite and that was it. I didn't have another bite out of it. Now, don't tell me I'm not denying the flesh. It's denying the flesh. Okay. All right, back to this. We're on the 10th one. We're almost through with this. I hope you're having a good time. God is so good to us to give us not only the instructions, but to tell us the end result if we'll do it. Now, this last prophecy, the number 10, there's more written. I have 11 things. Boy, this one is just loaded. It's just loaded with promises. This one is titled, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John Will Return. And if you'll allow me, in a way, that is the mission of the prayer center. That Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, what we see Christ able to do when he was here in his own body, being able to do now that he's operating through our bodies. But to do the same things. It's Jesus Christ, the same, yesterday, today, and forever. The works that I do shall you do also, and greater than these shall you do, because I go unto the Father. Whatever you ask in my name, I will do it. That is it. That's Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John restored into the earth again. What Christ did then, he hasn't changed. He'll do now. He's just doing it through our bodies instead of the body he had then. Okay, I'm preaching. But I want to walk in it, not just preach it. And so do you. And he's given us line upon line instruction. I mean, he brought it down to Jane, see the ball. Here's what I want you to do. I want you to come away with me. I want you to separate yourself. I want you to press in like you've never pressed before into prayer. I want you to go into the deeper things of my word. On and on and on. I'm just kind of recapitulating some of the instructions that's in these 10 prophecies. But oh, he tells us what the end result will be. So let me read you these out of this last one here. All right, so again, this is from the number 10 prophecy, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John will return. All right, number one, he says, I will take over in the days ahead. Now again, that's predicated on us doing what he's told us to do. If we'll do what he's told us to do, he said, I will take over. What do you mean by that, Lord? He continues, through that which you solicit from me in miracles and the moving of my spirit. Oh. See, because none of us can do miracles. He says, I'm going to come. I'm going to take over. Where you end, I begin, God. It's kind of like what God's saying. I'm going to take over because if you do this, that's been my goal the whole time. And those things that you're soliciting from me, the miracles and the moving of my spirit, I'm going to come. I'm going to take it over. The third one I wrote, oh, get this one. Oh, man, I've heard about things like this from, 100 years ago in the early days of Pentecost and that type of thing, but listen to this. He says, I will come in the services and saturate the people with my presence so strong, no one will move hardly or even be able to exit the building. You know, that goes We can go all the way back to the Old Testament when Solomon dedicated the temple and the 120 trumpeters trumpeted and all of that. Dave used to talk about, you know, so many tanker trucks of blood had to be taken away. They offered so many sacrifices that the blood and the trumpeters and the presence of God, that cloud came, the presence, and it filled the temple. And nobody could even stand. The presence was so strong. And I've read in the early days of Pentecost that the presence of God would come so strong, they might sit, everybody sit in the church, might be a little old country church out somewhere with 50 to 100 people in it, but he says nobody would even move for an hour. Not a baby would cry. Not a sound. The presence of God was so thick. And oftentimes people would wind up being healed during those services without a word being spoken. Oh my God, give us some of that. How would I get some of that? What if I did the instructions? What if I did what he said and he does what he says? Woo! He's telling us how to do it. Can I read that one again? Well, yeah, it's my service. I'm going to read it again. Can you tell I'm happy? I'm excited. I'm telling you, this is no time for gloom and doom and poor little me. We're shut in the house. Oh, my goodness. Okay. I'm going to be good. He says, I'm going to read that one again. I will come in the services and saturate the people with my presence so strong, no one will move hardly or even be able to exit the building. Oh, give us some of that. And he says, from that, in other words, from when those services start like that, great glory will come to the city. He goes on, I didn't write that part down, but he says how it'll happen. Word will get out about what God is doing, the signs, the miracles, the wonders, and they'll start tracing it back to, well, where? What are you talking about? What service? Where? And it'll trace back to where you are, whatever city you're in, whatever church you're in, whatever is going on, where that presence comes where you are. Could be a house, could be a living room, could be anywhere. But they'll start coming, and then they're going to see, they're going to hear, they're going to believe, they're going to get saved, they're going to get healed. And revival has come. Okay. Here's another promise. As we do these instructions, he says, you are not only just changing yourself, you are changing and bringing forth the destiny of the church and the house and the vision of revival. Now, in plain English, you're bringing forth the will of God. You know what Jesus, you know, the Lord's Prayer that we've all prayed and learned as little children, we've all prayed it so many times. Lord, hallowed, our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come. Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. This is the fulfillment of that prayer. I'm telling you right now, it is not God's will to bring blind people to church and they go home blind. It's not God's will to bring people to church in wheelchairs and they go home in the wheelchairs. That's not his will. Now, I thank God again. I am so thankful for anybody that's preaching Jesus and preaching the cross and getting people saved and anything at all that's being done. I'm thankful for people, churches that help provide hearing aids, you know, C&I dogs. I don't care what it is. Anything that helps people, well, thank God. It's just God's got a higher plan for blind people than C&I dogs. He's got a higher plan than hearing aids. And he's wanting to manifest himself in the earth. And he's asking us as a people to do these simple, straightforward instructions. And he promises if we do it, he will come. He will manifest himself. His presence will be there. And the whole world can see it. And they can reject their false gods or their no gods, and they can come to Christ and be saved and live with God forever in eternity. I'm preaching real good right now. Oh, hallelujah. Get excited. I love the gospel. I love Jesus. Hallelujah. I know I'm 73, but I only know it because there's a calendar in existence. I don't feel it at all. Now, if I start trying to run a marathon, I might feel that. But anyway, but hang on. And we ain't near done yet. We're just getting started good. Hallelujah. Here's the next promise. He says, you will have great joy as you see the multitudes being saved. Man, I love to see people get saved. I thank God for it. I thank God for, you know, one, two, three, however many. You know, that's kind of normal. Every now and then in other countries, sometimes there's great harvest. But I'm talking about in a first world country. In the USA, how about I say it like a burnover field? They call Canada a burnover field. It's almost like the gospel has come and gone, and you know, not that interested. You could say the same thing, I think, about the USA and too much of it. Listen, God loves burnover fields. You know, the easiest grass to start to burn is the driest grass there is. You know, grass that's green and got lots of humidity, that's hard to set a fire to. You take that old dry grass, man, it's easy to set it on fire. Anyway, trying not to preach. Oh, we're going to have great joy. Think about the first message Peter preached, and 3,000 got saved. Now, that's a service. Next time he preached, 5,000 got saved. Oh, my Lord. Let's have some of that, okay? Here's another promise from God. This is still, all of these are in that last, the number 10 prophecy. He says, I will not hold back the dividends of souls, healings, and miracles in this transformation process that brings forth the fullness and exact replica of my kingdom back in the earth. Now remember the title, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John will return. And I mean exactly. How about none diminished? Exactly. What we see Jesus do in Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, Jesus will still do. He's just doing it through a different body, different form of body. Not his own in that sense that he had before, but a body that is surrendered and yielded to him, like my arm is yielded and surrendered to Gary. My arm doesn't make willful decisions against me. It does whatever, bless God, I want it to do. And that's exactly what we need to do to be the body of Christ. Well, that is going to take some purging, transformation, and change. Gee, how would I do that? What about these 10 instructions, these 10 prophecies? What if that's the answer? Well, it is the answer. He's told us exactly how to do it. All right. So the eighth one I wrote down here says, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John will return the works and the essence. In other words, it's really the work of God. Okay. Number 9, I don't doubt this at all. When that happens and it's really being manifested, the body, it means the body of Christ at large, the church at large, will be shocked to hear and see what they will hear and see. Now, you might as well know it was the religious people that put Jesus on the cross. They're the ones that stirred up the people. It was the priests and the Pharisees and the scribes, the religious people, they're the ones that got mad. They're the ones that hated Jesus. Now, and they're going to hate him and you. So just know that comes along with it. The organized church, the ones that will not repent and come over into the fullness of this, they're going to come against you the same way they come against him. It's really not you. They're coming against Christ in you. It's called an antichrist spirit for a reason. They are antichrist. So if Christ is in you, they're anti you. But it's not really you. It's Christ in you. Okay. All right, the body will be shocked. I believe that, but I believe a lot of them will change. Oh, I'm telling you, it's not just the body of Christ. Listen, I preached in the prisons for about 6 years, and I've sat one-on-one with Muslims and Hindus and people of all kinds of faiths, you know. And I was very young in those days in the Lord. I didn't know much. And basically, I'd argue the Bible, and they'd argue the Koran or whatever they had, and we might tangle there for an hour, 2 hours, and at the end of it, neither one of us was changed, and we were both more entrenched than we were before, you know. Well, that's not the way you do it. You know, those guys, I'm thinking about this, I have a face right now. I remember a Muslim man he was a good man, really. He made a mistake. He wound up in prison. But he loved his family. And I'm just thinking, you know, because I had a pretty knockdown drag out with him over the Bible. I was young. Anyway, I think about that man. I've often wondered, now what if he'd had a a blind daughter or a blind son or, you know, something incurable at home. And I found out about it, and I said, "Sir, instead of us arguing like this, what if I just showed you that Jesus is alive? Can I have your permission to pray for your daughter? You tell me that she's blind. And when my Lord heals her, will you listen then? I don't have a doubt in the world if I could go over there and pray in the name of Jesus and operate in the authority that we really have." And that guy's blind daughter's eyes open. I don't have a doubt in the world. He'd say, "I need to hear more about you, Jesus." He'd be a candidate for the gospel then. He wouldn't be near so prone just to fight for fighting's sake. People want truth. Something way down on the inside knows that there's a God, no matter what they say. Anyway, preach it again. Hallelujah. Now, got two more points here. Get close to the end. Now, God says, near the end of this number 10 prophecy, he says, "Oh, you know what? I keep saying number 10. Oh, my Lord, there's one more after this. I thought we were through." Okay, I'll speed it up. This is number 9 prophecy. Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John will return is number 9. I'm sorry. Okay. The 10th thing that he says in this one, he says, "But you are right, and I declare unto you by the Spirit that you are right in your understanding that this last great harvest of souls will be that which is brought up all the way to my return. What I am preparing you for is not something that comes and then something that goes." Well, see, there's been a lot of great revivals. We can talk about the Welsh revival. We can talk about the Hebrides revival. We can talk about, there's been so many great revivals. Even in America, we've had the Brownsville revival and other revivals. Canada's had them. But they all came to an end. Some of them shorter than others. Some of them lasted longer. But all of them came to an end. He is plainly telling us this one that he's after, this one is going to harvest until he returns. Oh, to be a part of that. Wow. Now, next he says, still in that same number 9 prophecy, "But I am preparing you and those who are a part of this and watching and those who will hear in the days ahead that you will be part of something that is as strong as case-hardened steel." He says, "It cannot and will not be broken by the times. It will not be broken by persecution. It is a rock that cannot be broken, and it cannot be split. It is the foundation of the sayings of my Son. And as the apostles wrote upon these things, the sayings of his Son, and prepared the church, I saw and prophesied to you through many places that there would be an end-time church that would welcome me back." We are that end-time church. "The time is short. Here's promises. The harvest will be great." God said that. "The harvest will be great, and your joy will be beyond words." All right, now we're on number 10. All right, let me see here. We got like a few minutes. Number 10, move out of my authority. Move out of my authority. Learn how to move out of God's authority instead of man's, is what he's talking about. He says, "If you will learn to move out of my authority and speak the end result," now that's an instruction, "and believe that my Spirit and my angels and everything that heaven employs will go in front of you and surround your words with authority and power." Boy, there's a promise that when you speak, heaven goes in front of you, the angels and the Holy Spirit, every word you speak is with authority and with power. Phew. It says, then, if we learn how to do that, then, and that comes by doing these instructions, then the things that you place your hand to will be accomplished in such perfect standing of grace and authority. Then he says, "I have called, excuse me, I have called you for a place where men look at your lives and say, well, there is a group that does not walk like we walk. There is a group who, when they speak something, it comes to pass. That's who we're supposed to be. You know, Jesus, he functioned like that all the time. What he said came to pass. God's bringing forth Christ in us, that same image duplicated in us, and what we say shall come to pass. Okay? All of this is predicated, though, on doing what he's told us to do. All right? I can still hear people say, oh, that's works. I'm sorry, I don't mean to be unkind. That's just ridiculous. Listen, if Noah had not done what God told him to do, the ark would never have been built. If Moses had not done what God told him to do, the tabernacle would never have been built. The law would never have been written. I mean, you just look at Hebrews chapter 11, and all of them heard and obeyed God. And if they didn't obey God, they wouldn't be in that chapter. Well, this is our chance to hear and obey God. It's just that simple. Okay. Hallelujah. Then he says, God says, kings and priests I have called you to be. Yes, you will lay hands on the sick and watch them recover. And that is part of the great outpouring. But much of the great outpouring is walking in a place where the anointing surrounds you and that it breaks all yokes. Now think of that. The anointing. You're walking in such a place, in such presence with God, that the anointing just surrounds you and it breaks all yokes. Say, oh, no, that's not in the Bible. You ever hear about Peter's shadow? Oh, it says they brought multitudes on cots and stretchers and just laid them there just so Peter's shadow. All they had to do was get them in shadow length. Just get in that presence and they would be healed. There's scripture for this. He says, know this, that you have an answer for everything. What? What'd you say, God? Well, if you do this, just know that you'll have an answer for everything. And even when you do not believe in your natural mind that you have an answer, you have an answer for everything inside of you. Because the one who created all things dwells inside of you. If we learn to rely on the Holy Ghost, just exactly what is it he doesn't know? Just exactly what? Does he not have the power to change? The one who created all things, and it's really Christ in us, but by the anointing of the Holy Ghost. Oh my. God says in that prophecy, I have called you to be a super people in the world, a world that is spiraling down every minute. I have called you to be those with answers and those with an anointing. Then he says, he kind of wraps it up with this. He says, there is a joy coming on the church. Now, again, it's all predicated on if we do, there is a joy coming on the church. There is a joy like you have never known, and an ecstaticness like you've never known that is coming. Just so joyful, ecstatic, can't stand it, so good. But it will be coming as a result, as you line yourself up with me and my word. Well, that's the instructions. Number 11, hearken in every place. And that means obey. Hearken means hear and obey. In every place, and I will give you space to grow. How many of you are glad about that? I'm real glad about that. He says, I will give you time to grow. I'm not jerking you up, but I am growing you up. He finishes with this. But I expect you to be in a continual place of growth. And I'm very patient. Very patient. Well, I'm glad about that. Well, I tell you, I am excited about these promises of God. I read them and it just thrills my soul that it's we're really going to see Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John restored in the earth. It's going to be you and me laying our hands on these little kids and getting them healed, and on old kids like me and getting them healed. Wouldn't it be? Dave used to talk about emptying out the children's hospital, and part of me went, oh, pat, 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 you know, oh, that's nice, Brother Dave, you know, it's like a pipe dream or something. But the more I'm in this, I'm telling you, I don't think Jesus would hesitate a minute to go through the children's hospital and empty every bed, every single one of them. And I believe I think he's still going to do that. He's just going to do it through us. Okay, I got to quit. I'm already run over. Let's finish in prayer. Father, we are so thankful that you are still alive and you speak from heaven. Lord, thank you for speaking through your servant. And Father, it's so wonderful that we have these instructions and these promises from you. Father, we love you so much. We want this revival. We hunger for it. We thirst for it, Lord. It's our reason for living. And Father, we just want you to have your way. We want you to have your will. Father, we thank you for your spirit, the also helper who has come to help us against the infirmities of the flesh. Father, we love you. We thank you. Father, at the end of our life, we want to have the same testimony that Paul had. We fought the good fight. We kept the faith and we finished the race that you set in front of us. Father, those of us at the prayer center and everybody who has locked arms with us on this vision, Father, we know what the race is that we've been assigned. And that race is revival, that Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John be restored in the earth. Father, we say with help us by your grace, because when we stand before you, we want to be able to say, Father, you have your revival. In Jesus' name we pray. If you agree with that, you can say amen. Well, I'm excited about prayer. I'm eager to get through with this and go get in a little more today. Hallelujah. Maybe a bunch more. We love you. See you next time. Bye-bye.